Identifying.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to another glorious edition of Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studios. And most weeks, we are driven by our good friends at General Tire, reminding you where anywhere is possible. But this week, something a little bit different. General Tire's other company, I guess sister company, parent company, Continental Tire, had us out at the Long Beach Grand Prix last weekend, taking in the IMSA, the IndyCar, the Stadium Super Trucks events. Amazing time had by all. But my co-host on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, Amy Hood, she was out there with me, and together we tag team some interviews with some of the best drivers in the IMSA Championship, prototype drivers driving on those Continental Tires. We tag team some interviews. We're able to catch up with Colin Braun, Jordan Taylor, his teammate Ranger, and also Ryan DL. We knocked out some interviews. We had a ton of fun, and I think you're going to get to see a side of these drivers that you don't normally get to see. And that's what we're all about, whether it be on Project Action or the Down and Dirty Radio Show, giving you a different side and a little bit of the personality behind some of the best drivers in motorsports, action sports, Hollywood, celebrities, badasses, everything in between. So welcome to Project Action this week. Thank you guys for being here. I think you're really going to enjoy the show. Like I said, three world-class interviews with four world-class racers coming at you this week. If you're just joining us for the first time, I know we got a lot of new listeners. We dropped that Dax Shepard interview. He teamed with me in the Polaris Razor Star Car a couple of weeks ago at the UTV World Championship. A lot of new listeners because of that. Thank you. Welcome. If you haven't already, please go and subscribe over on iTunes. Hit that subscribe button, man. And while you're there, skip over to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Hit the subscribe button to that as well. And if you're really feeling good, please leave a rating or a review. I don't care if it's 1 star, 5 stars, just let me know what you think of the show. And please, when you leave that review, if you leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the review, I will see that. And when I see that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow you back on social media. My promise to you. So those of you that are already following me, thank you. You want to follow back? Got to leave that review. My social media handles, if you want to get a hold of me, it's at JimBeaver15, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And we've also got a Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups/JimBeaver15. We got a new Instagram account for the Down and Dirty Radio Show. It's at Down and Dirty Show. We've got like 194,000 followers on there. We're dropping all kinds of rad automotive content. Lots of fun. I just like different stuff than everybody else, and that's what I try and put to social media. Some of you may like it, some of you may don't, but thanks for the follows anyways. But thank you guys. I met a lot of you fans when we were out at the Long Beach Grand Prix. I know Project Action has kind of become a catch-all for just all things rad, right? All things awesome. That was actually one of the potential names for this podcast when we started it up. It was going to be like all things awesome. We didn't end up going that way. We went with the Project Action route. I don't know, maybe we should have done that. But I got to tell you, we have some amazing guests coming up in the future on Project Action. Next week, I'm recording this one I'm super stoked about, Hurricane Nita, Alice Cooper's lead guitarist, one of the greatest guitarists of all time, in my opinion. And I said one of. I'm not saying she's better than Jimi Hendrix, so don't assassinate me for that. So this amazing rock and roll guitarist. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying she's rad. She's a badass. She fits the show. She's also got some backing from Monster Energy. She was just playing WrestleMania. Shinsuke Nakamura, she played him down to the ring in front of 100,000 people in New Orleans. So she is absolutely awesome. She's got an amazing Instagram page. She's got an amazing YouTube page. She posts all kinds of rad music there. You guys definitely need to go check it out. Her name's Hurricane Nita. I think you guys are you're going to dig her as much as I do, and I'm stoked to have her on Project Action coming at you next week. That one I am very, very, very excited about. So thank you guys for joining us. Man, it's going to be a fun show today. Like I said, three amazing interviews with four guests. We tag team one of them. Before we get to those, I got to tell you about a couple of our amazing partners here on Project Action on Podcast One. You know, one of those is TrueCar. They've been with us for a long, long time. And if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what's it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse just about anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Well, introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Well, it's because True Car will show you what other people in your area paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And you know, I'm a busy guy. I'm out at races, I'm at events, sometimes I'm at home. When I'm at home, I'm working. I've got a to-do list every day. Emails, podcasts, radio shows, and just going to the grocery store, paying bills. It's all on a to-do list. But here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to your to-do list. And the good thing is, you're not going to have to email anybody. You're not going to have to go anywhere, drop off anything, pick anything up. All you have to do is go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you listening to this right now, yes, you, could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? Hey, I'm just a broke podcaster and radio guy who dabbles in racing. You know I don't have a lot of money. That means a lot to me. So I say you guys definitely want to go and check out GEICO.com today. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Man, it's going to be a fun one. I'm very excited to get these interviews out in the wild right now on Project Action on Podcast One. So we're going to roll right into this amazing interview at the Long Beach Grand Prix with Colin Braun.
All right. Catching up here with Colin Braun. We're out here at the Long Beach Grand Prix. Jim Beaver and Amy Hood here. And I don't know, we've been talking before we got on the mic and all this good content. Now it's like, it'll probably be crickets, right? Now that we're on the mic.
Say, now it'll get serious and nobody will laugh and it'll be all stuffy.
Not with us.
So, no, I mean, we were talking. I know one thing that Amy and I, we were like looking over your stats. Like, the one thing that's awesome about you, you've driven pretty much a little bit of everything in your career, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've driven, you know, sports cars like we're racing here in Long Beach. I've driven GRC cars. I've driven NASCAR trucks, the cars. I mean, you name it, I've kind of driven it. Not trophy trucks, though, so that's cool.
What about a monster truck? Have you driven a monster truck either?
No. I actually rode in one when I was like 5 years old. They came to town. Yep, and I rode in the back of Bigfoot, you know, real slow. That was fun. But, yeah, I'd like to drive one.
It's funny because everybody's got some type of monster truck story in their career. Like, it doesn't matter where you're at. You've been to one. You've seen something. You've had an experience, right?
Yeah, you have to, right? I mean, they're cool. What kid doesn't love a monster truck?
Yeah, it's like larger than life. But speaking of that, I mean, you know, take us through this week, and we'll talk about your career here in a second. But I mean, Long Beach Grand Prix. I mean, we're back here. This is one of the premier events. I mean, on the calendar. I mean, you know, how's things shaping up for you guys this year?
Yeah, it's good so far. We're second. Those are long races, 24 hours at Daytona, 12 hours at Sebring. We come here to Long Beach, it's 100 minutes. So a big shift in strategy and the intensity and sort of the you know, how the race sort of unfolds. So definitely a lot different, but shaping up good. I mean, we've had our first practice. We were decent in that. A lot of just the raw speed and pace of our car, really important. So we've been working hard to try to make it as fast as we can and less worried about, you know, reliability and those kind of things.
Well, looking back at your career, I know looked at one point you were the and I don't know if it still stands, but the youngest driver ever to stand on the podium at Le Mans. I mean, how is that? That's got to be one of those things you look back on, and just to stand on the podium there at any time in your career is a big deal. But you know, to be the youngest driver ever, that's it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was a cool year. I was 17, I think, and my first time at Le Mans. So, being 17, coming to Le Mans, finishing second, I kind of wish I could go back and really take it and soak it back in, because I was a little bit of a punk, you know. I was 17 years old, showed up, finished second, and I was like, well, I don't know, that sucks. I wanted to win the race. And so looking back on it, I wish I would have, you know, taken it in a little bit more and enjoyed it a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, amazing event, really cool. That record still stands, I think, as it is now. So yeah, a lot of fun, really cool event, and love to get back there.
Well, and how has the transition been? I mean, because you've done so much. I mean, and I know you threw in some global rallycross a couple years ago. You spent a lot of time in NASCAR. I mean, you've bounced back and forth between road racing and, you know, a little bit of everything. I mean, how's that come into play now here in IMSA, you know, running prototype cars like you're doing? I mean, how is that, you know, all that you've taken in your career transition over into where you're at now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all builds on itself. It all helps, right? And so, you know, it's definitely different what we're doing now than what the GRC was, than what the NASCAR racing was. But, you know, it makes you a good, well-rounded race car driver that can drive, you know, different kinds of cars. I think it all sort of leads to, you know, being a proficient race car driver doing whatever. And so, yeah, I think it all is helpful and definitely different, adaptable. And, you know, what you learn over here may not directly apply to what's going on over here, but it sort of all helps in general.
So now I hear you transition to the coaching side of the world, and being 29, it's pretty impressive because usually people. Oh, so old.
Race car standards is bizarre to call that old. But
yeah,
I'm at 37 trying to figure out, you know, what's next for me, right? You know, it's like, yeah.
Well, you're old in the two wheel side of the world, but you know, usually people transition to that at the end of their career. But I think it's really cool. Again, you've, you know, driven and ridden pretty much anything on four wheels. So, you know, how important is that to you as a younger driver to be able to give that knowledge back to the younger up and coming generation?
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, and for me, the sports car schedule, from what I was used to doing some NASCAR racing, doing 30 plus races a year, came back to sports car racing where they do 10 or 12. And I looked around like, wow, what else can you do? Right. What am I going to? Yeah. So started getting into the coaching thing, which has been fun and neat. And you know, in a different way, it's fulfilling. Right. It's fun to help see guys improve and get better at their craft. So that's been a lot of fun as well.
Awesome.
So that being said, I mean, we're out here at Long Beach. I mean, what's it going to take for you guys to, you know, put this thing on top of the box?
Yeah, I mean, about getting to the end of the race, even though it's a sprint race and it's intense. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, contact here, a lot of yellow flags usually. And so we got to get in a position where we can contend at the end. But then we're going to need the speed at the end of the race. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. And, you know, they all are. These aren't easy to win.
Well, and that's what's funny. You mentioned contact, and I look at these beautiful cars you guys are racing, and you know, and a lot of people think, you know, oh, racing's not a contact sport. They see NASCAR and they think that, but they think road racing and things. And I mean, you guys are banging doors. I mean, that's gotta be, you know, at some point, do you cringe? You're like, oh man, I'm driving this car that's, you know, $1 million car, and here we are banging doors.
Yeah, no, not too much. I mean, it's part of the job, right? It's part of what you got to do, and you got to get after it. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, gosh, I wish that guy wouldn't hit me because that didn't really do a lot except cost a little bit of damage. But, yeah, part of the deal. It's fun.
Some point, do you ever look back and you look at these cars you're driving and you look at your career and go, man, this is pretty – like, it's humbling at some point, right?
Yeah, it's neat, you know, to look back and see all the different places I've gotten to travel and the different cars and different people and all the things that I've got gotten to do has been a lot of fun. It's been a neat journey and, you know, one that I don't think you could repeat exactly, just kind of where the water takes you.
Well, and you're only 29. Like, you have such a, you know, a big career still ahead of you because every time you kind of transition into something different. So you got to remember, especially in the four-wheel side of the world, you're still young. Like, it's going to be really exciting to see where all of this takes you in the next 30 years.
Yeah, who knows? I feel like it's been a long career, and I feel like I'm a year away from being retired. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun, and who knows where it's going to go. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and I think, too, road racing, I mean, a lot of guys come into, you know, you look at a guy like Helio who's coming in later in his career. You know, you're here in IMSA racing, you know, and you've got a really good feel for all the tracks. I mean, the knowledge and the data that you can bring to a team, you know, that's, you know, that you've been able to accumulate, you know, it's like, you know, you've got, I look at things and go, man, you've got a lot of years left in your career just because you made the transition to road racing so early.
Yeah, I think there's a sweet spot of, you know, youthful exuberance and experience that cross, and we see in sports car racing, obviously, the longer, you know, the longer the careers are, you know, I think you gain more of that experience, and so I think, you know, being young and still having the experience that I have, I think is in a good, you know, sweet spot at the moment. But yeah, I'm excited to keep going.
All right, well, I appreciate the time, man, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys, I appreciate it.
Good times with Colin Braun there at the Long Beach Grand Prix. I gotta say, you know, this guy's near and dear to my heart, right? He came from Rallycross, not came from, but he did a little bit of, spent a little bit of time in Red Bull Global Rallycross, which is now gone away. That's a story for another day. They're on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Listen next week if you want the full story on Red Bull GRC. But good times. Thanks a lot to Colin Braun for, you know, for the time on air. Much appreciated. And, you know, he actually showed Amy and I around his car right before the race and actually got to kind of climb in and around the cockpit. And these things are like full-on fighter jet. If you haven't seen a prototype, I posted pictures to our Instagram feed at Down and Dirty Show, as well as my personal one, I think. But, man, the cars are just absolutely amazing. Like, they've got, I don't know, technology just top to bottom in these things. Holy crap, they are amazing. So thanks a lot, Colin Braun. And keeping with the theme of things, we're just going to keep rolling right into these interviews. And this one was with absolutely hilarious interview with Ryan DL.
All right, out here at Long Beach Grand Prix, we got Ryan DL. Everybody keeps saying Ryan DL, and I got to have you pronounce your last name because I'm just DL's not working for me.
Dalziel is actually
– Dalziel.
That's not right. It just looks like that, but it's DL. It's actually a really – fairly common Scottish name where I'm from. Actually, my part of Scotland is a common name.
So, literally, that's rad, because I would have thought it was Dalziel. It's just DL.
I have a good DL story. I drove a few years ago for Dodge Viper, and we were doing an auto show, and they were introducing the six drivers there for the year, and had a Belgian guy, and an American, and a Dutch guy, and so they got to me, and the girl didn't know how to pronounce my name, so she said, "How do you pronounce your name?" I said, "It's just DL." And she going, "It's not Dalziel." I say, "No, it's just DL. It's easy. DL." So she introduces all the drivers, and then all of a sudden, Ryan, just DL.
Oh,
out.
My God.
Yeah. And my teammate that year, one of the teammates was Tommy Kendall. You guys know him?
Oh, I know Tommy.
And Tommy, I thought Tommy was going to wet himself on stage.
That is too great. Now I understand, and I'm gonna make you feel better. Everybody's been making you feel bad all week, but your birthday yesterday, right? You're 36.
Birthday.
Well, I'm 37, so I'm gonna tell you, I got you clipped already by a year, so you're all right.
But there's nothing good after that, is there?
I mean, you are getting closer to 40 now, so you just have to lie about it. You know, you can play that role of that girl.
I am.
I mean, I'm 29. I feel like I'm getting old because I'm closer to 30, which is almost 40, you know. But I just have a 21st birthday every year. Like, I have a 21st birthday for 8 years now. I've only ever had a 21st birthday card. Like, I refuse to accept the ones that are, you know, 22, 23. But, I mean, you can just start lying about it.
To me, it's just a number, and you're meant to say you're only as old as the woman you feel, right? However, my wife's older than me, so that doesn't work.
My line was that you're only as old as the boys you date, but now getting older, I don't want to really – that sounds really creepy to use that line. But, yeah, I mean, now – but, hey, so we were talking on off air before this, but I always love to, you know, get that behind the scenes talking, but – you know, 36 years, and you've never been to Monster Jam. You've never seen a Monster Jam event.
No, and I am obsessed with them, and
yes.
I feel like I need to drive one at some point.
Yeah,
and I live in Orlando, and it's there every year. Mm-hmm. But we always race at Daytona at the same time. So I'm bummed. I'm going to go, though. I need to.
Well, that's where Feld Entertainment, who owns Monster Jam, we're located in Palmetto, Florida. So I'm surprised because the Orlando show is like an iconic. Everybody goes down there. I mean... And, you know, coming over to the U.S., I mean, monster trucks is like a given. You have to. It's like America, monster trucks. Yeah. I think it's something you need to experience.
This is America.
America.
This is
Canadian. I'm a Canadian, so I can say this because,
America, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're Scottish, so.
I'm dual.
You're dual.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you have a really, you know, fine accent, so.
I have been in the States. So I came over a race in 2002. Mm-hmm. I moved full-time-ish 2005 and 6, and then I became a citizen.
Yeah, your wife.
And when did I become a citizen? I think it was only like 2 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, which really does nothing for me, right? I had a green card, so I'm just the same. Except now I can go jury duty, but who wants to do that?
Well, the fact that now that you are a dual citizen, you have to go see a monster truck race because you have to have that all-American experience.
Done.
Oh, it's too funny. So we got to talk about Long Beach because we're having too much fun out here. But Long Beach Grand Prix, we're out here. I know you said you guys got close to this one last year, right? I know it was a post on Instagram. You're like, man, we were close. We got to do it this year. But, I mean, what you know, take us through last year and then rolling into this year. I mean, shoot, we're three rounds in this year too. So,
yeah, last year we I think we lost the lead with three laps to go with traffic. And it was kind of an unexpected race for us because we weren't that good in practice, and all of a sudden it just came to us, and that's nice. That's usually the good ones to win. So we came second, and then this year has been miserable for my car. We retired early at Daytona. We crashed out the first turn of the 12 hours of Sebring. We call it the 7 seconds of Sebring for my car. We had a good practice so far today, so we'll see. I don't know if we have the best car here. It's hard to tell. This place changes a lot. You know, we're the track sweepers first thing in the morning. Track changes a lot before qualifying, and then it's totally different again after IndyCar. So you got a lot of different rubbers going down, and with the Continentals, we go out after different manufacturers. And so for us, it's you don't really know what you get every time. We know what we get in a normal race weekend where it's just Continental tires and just IMSA running. But when you throw in multiple manufacturers and different brands and different lines and different everything, you got trucks jumping off things. So we never know what to expect. But based on years of doing this, we have an idea.
Well, and that being said, I know, you know, we were sitting and listening to the IndyCar press conference, and they were talking about, you know, laying down rubber and things like that. I mean, you know, how, you know, that's does it affect the grip? I mean, with the other rubbers and then you guys running over the top of it and things like that. I mean, how's that affect, you know, your driving style? I mean, do you have to take it easy the first couple, you know, in laps when you're going out for practice just to kind of get a feel for the track?
Yeah, I mean, the key thing for us is we run first. We're the first professional cars on track. We had a two-hour practice, track screen. Nobody's really run since last year. So even throughout that 2 hours, it's massively different by the time you get to the end. So we don't take a huge amount of what we learn in first practice and carry over. Practice two is kind of the one where now IndyCar run and a bunch of different stuff, and we have a short practice before qualifying, and that's kind of the make or break time. Make sure you've made the right changes, or in our case, we've changed nothing. We felt like the way our car finished is going to be good once you go out after IndyCar practice. But the line changes a lot with IndyCar because the cars are lighter, they have more grip, they take generally a little bit of a narrower line than we would with a heavier car. But for us, you know, you've got two options. You drive your line and you're on no rubber and there's no grip, or you drive on the sticky black rubber that they've laid down. So we have to adjust a little bit our line, but I think the guys that have done this race enough times kind of know what to expect.
Well, and you're a guy that you've got that open wheel experience, your race champ car. I mean, you know, so you kind of have a – I mean, you feel like that adds somebody to some of your knowledge base, you know, especially at a race like this where you guys are running the same track?
It makes me sound old, yeah. I'm like a retired IndyCar driver that ended up in sports cars. My IndyCar career was when I was like 24. So, no, it's – I think understand. I always say this to, you know, we race multi-class racing in IMSA. We have GTs and we have prototypes. And I feel like the best drivers in each category are the guys that have done both. The guys that understand what the strengths and weaknesses are of each car. As far as the IndyCar goes, it's so different to what we do. The cars are just a lot quicker in the corners. They're lighter. They have bigger tires, more downforce. Although we do have a lot more horsepower than them, so I think that's cool because everybody wants horsepower.
Nothing beats horsepower. Well, Amy and I were talking about, you know, obviously you guys got Continental backing, but you guys also have to have one of the best sponsors in racing, right? I mean, it's got to be fun being represented by Patron. I know Amy and I were talking. You've got to have some good drinks, right, Hood?
Well, I'm actually deathly allergic to tequila, so I wouldn't be joining you on that party. And not on the allergic side where I'll just be the first, you know, lying on the dance floor. But agave can't do it. But, yeah, I mean, you must have the fun pits after the event, am I right?
I feel like you need to try Patron just in case. Maybe you're not allergic. It does, but ours is really good stuff. Okay. It's maybe worth trying. If it's free, you would try it. How sick do you get?
Well, you have to be willing to shoot me in the leg with an EpiPen if I blow up like a blowfish. You think you can handle that?
Yes.
Okay. Challenge accepted then.
I feel like we should put this on social media and we'll do a test at the end of the weekend.
Honestly, I'm down for that. Like, you have to be able to hit me with that EpiPen because I will. Throat will close up and I will die. But again, challenge accepted. I do like an adventure. I like to walk on the wild side.
Yeah, well, maybe we need to do some liability waivers before we go into this. And maybe have some medics.
Patron isn't endorsing this.
Yes, Patron are not involved. But as a sponsor goes, amazing, right? I mean, it's kind of driver's dream come true. Yeah. It's one of the best teams in the paddock. I've been with them since 2014. And as much as it's a cool product and a great product, the people who run Patron are the just absolute best people you ever meet. I mean, generous company, you know, a company just sold for billions of dollars, and it's privately owned by two guys that you would just never meet, two more humble, super nice guys. And guys you go have, you know, burgers with. You know, mm-hmm. they're not at all what you would expect. And so they've put everything in this team to give us what we need. And the drinking's pretty good. I definitely was – I struggled the first year when I joined the team. You go every
– too many shots of Patron, right?
Every event we went to, they're just holding trays of Patron on the rocks. So I never really drank Patron before that, never drank tequila. By the end of the first year, I was a pro. I've been to the factory a couple of times in Mexico, which is just phenomenal. You got to like look up some of the videos online.
Did you get to see the fields and all that? Did you get to see
everything?
Oh, that's
amazing. I mean, Patron do everything from the growing process to the bottling to the cork. They own their own cork company. I mean, it's amazing. Every single part of it. And then on the other side of it as a company, just to kind of say what we're saying, how good they are. Everybody in Mexico has free schooling. They have free education. They have daycares. Everybody gets picked up at their houses and taken to work. I mean, you go down this factory and it's like an amusement park. They have their own swimming pool. They give swimming lessons to the kids.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody has medical coverage. To work there is like a huge honor in awesome. The town of Tequila.
Well, talking about savvy business, you know, you've started, you're the founder of racecarcoaches.com, which I think is really cool because most drivers are you know, given individual driving coaching. But you've created this network of experienced drivers and offer, they call it the Yelp of driver coaches websites. And tell us a little bit more about that and why you chose to go that route instead of, you know, just offering your own personal services.
So it came from that. I mean, every driver, especially sports car drivers, a lot of our additional kind of supplementary income comes from coaching. And so a lot of the questions I used to ask, I did a fair amount of coaching, especially in slower years. But the past 3-4 years, I've been doing too much racing, which is a great problem to have. Trust me, it's doing multiple series gets kind of tiring, but I wouldn't change it. So what happened was a lot of the clients I had wanted referrals. Mm. Now, then you come into different levels of drivers and income. Well, it basically came to people that would say to me, well, do you know anybody in upstate New York? Because I can't really afford to fly somebody from Florida. So the initial idea behind the site was actually just to find geographically where the coaches were, and then to also kind of wean out some of the crap mm-hmm. that's out there, because it's a dangerous business to be a coach yep. as much as a driver. And I think a lot of people are taken advantage of in the track day world. And I have a lot of friends who are, you know, businessmen and entrepreneurs who, you know, bought a 911, went to the track, and they're telling me who their great coach is. And, you know, then you soon find out that that's not really as great as they would think. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just trying to put together good people initially that were location based. But now it's kind of developed more into just a good place to find coaches. You know, a lot of the guys that have been contacted through the site, it's not for local jobs. It's for national jobs or international jobs. And, you know, it's gone a lot better than I thought it was going to go. I mean, I started it thinking, hey, why not? I got nothing else to do in the off season.
That's usually how that starts. You know, you start with something small, and, you know, if it's a great idea, which this is, it's different. No one else is really offering that. So, and then it blows up, and then you're having to take your summers off of racing to manage this, you know, amazing thing you have going on, which you'll never do.
Maybe that's the retirement plan.
Exactly.
But
good plan B,
the good thing I think about it is that nobody has a dollar number. Mm-hmm. It's all one-on-one. The whole point of the site is to connect coaches to clients. And then everything they do off of the site is up to them. So the initial, I don't make any money off the client. There's not a service fee. There's not a commission. The coaches advertise, and then what they discuss off the site and how and many days they want to do, it's totally up to them.
Awesome. Well, I know that's amazing. So wrapping things up here, I mean, you know, how do we get this monkey of 2018 off your back and get you guys on the podium here at Long Beach this weekend?
Long Beach has always been good to me. It was my anniversary this week. It was my birthday yesterday. I'm old one at this track. And
they call that a seasoned vet.
A seasoned veteran.
Vet. You know, you're not old. You're seasoned.
No, in racing, that's your like retirement age if you're seasoned. I remember coming into IMSA as I was a young kid. Mm-hmm. And now I'm the veteran. That's quite depressing.
Well, the thing about a veteran, though, and I just reference this with Supercross because I am a two-wheeler for life, but you know, you find that these seasoned riders, if you will, or vets, they have a lot more experience. They're not going in your guns of glory. You know, you have your cool, calm, collected now. You know, you've taken it all and you've been here before, you've done this before, so you kind of have a different mindset than a lot of these young guns.
I would agree with that, and I think a perfect example, and it kind of humbles me a little bit, is my teammate in the other car, Pipo Durrani, who's kind of the hottest property right now, I think, in prototypes. I think Pipo's 24, 25, and he told me this morning, he's like, "You're not old, my friend. You're just experienced." Yeah. And I've been good with him because him and I, we work well together, and I remember kind of being the 24-year-old, and now I'm the 26-year-old. So I'm trying to rub some of my experience onto him, and then also get some of my speed back by watching him.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. You guys can really play off each other. But I do think, and I'm a veteran in my sport too, so when I'm out there racing, these younger girls are kicking my butt. But I can, you know, when I was younger racing and driving, I was so caught up in the moment. When it's your first time at a big event, a new place, you really, you know, get kind of blinded by the lights sometimes. So now I can kind of come in with this mentality that I've been here before, I've done this, I got this time around.
Yeah, I remember I got taken up in a fighter jet one time. I drove for a team in open wheel that raced the Reno Air Races, and they had all these L39 display jets. And I was 21 at the time. And the guy who was the captain or the pilot, he's a pilot, right? He was about 90 years old. And they had to help him up the stairs into the cockpit. And I thought it was a joke the whole time. I'm like, how is this guy going to take me up and do barrel rolls? And so then they start teaching all the breathing exercises about how to stop passing out, right? You have to, remember as a kid, you would get the blood in your head.
Yeah.
So that's how you have to do it. And he's teaching me all this stuff. And he's like, but don't worry, when we're up there, I'll talk you through it.
Yeah.
Sure enough, we go up there and he's like, okay, we're going to do a barrel roll, whatever it was. And he starts telling you what to do. And I remember when he was knocking me out, I could still hear his voice talking. And when we landed, I said to them, I was like, man, you can barely walk. How did you manage to do that and talk me through? And he's like, because years of doing it, you learn how to do it, and you're less stressed, and you have all these different things. Exactly what you said. It's, you know, I feel like every time I come a racetrack, it's another year of doing it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I know Long Beach by the back of my hand. Mm-hmm. My first ever race in the U.S. was here in 2002. So
there you go. Age comes advantage.
Let's hope so.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate the time, Ryan. DL. And, you know, we'll,
on the DL.
Yeah, on the DL. Just DL. And we'll catch up soon. Good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Ryan DL, great guy. Had a pretty solid weekend there. And I don't know if, you know, we had a lot of fun with these interviews. A ton of fun. Amy and I did. Hopefully you guys are enjoying them. I think you're going to really enjoy this next one. So we had Jordan Taylor, who's an absolute character on Instagram. You got to follow him on Instagram. He's always pulling something new. He's got like his alter ego who's on Instagram as well. He's got quite a few followers for his alter ego. But he was there. We caught up with Jordan Taylor and his co-driver, also teammate, split driving in the IMSA series, but Ringer Vanderzande. And we had a ton of fun with these guys. Amy and I, we slayed these interviews. It was fun times had by all. And so here is Jordan and Ringer.
All right, so continuing on here at Long Beach Grand Prix, and now we got some Continental drivers, Jordan Taylor and Ringer Vanderzande. Did I get it? Zande? Okay. Zandu. Okay, all right. Yeah, no, we got to get that on the mic.
Ringer Vanderzande.
All right. It just rolls off your tongue so much better than it does mine. No, but we're out here having a good time, just checking out the races. You know, I know, you know, you guys have had some, you particularly had some, you know, good luck here at Long Beach. I mean, you know, take us through this event. Obviously, you know what it takes to win here.
Yeah, I mean, we came here the first time, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. And I think our team just runs well on street courses. We've won here 3 years in a row now. We've won Detroit 3 or 4 times, which is another street course. So these street tracks, you have to stay on top of it as a team and as drivers to develop the car as the track is evolving. So, you know, Ringer's had lots of success in all forms of racing, on street course racing, so he can kind of bring us a new perspective as well. And, you know, practice has been going well so far, and I think as the track evolves, we'll keep adapting.
Well, how did you guys get linked up together? I know you've done some racing with your brother in the past, but, I mean, how did this team form? Obviously, you know, it's, you guys got to be pretty excited about it, but how did you guys get linked up together?
I saw him on Instagram.
And there we go. No.
You saw his rap video he put out earlier this week?
Yeah, I saw all of his videos.
It's better than meeting on Tinder. So.
Yeah, it would be Grindr.
How do you know that?
I have a good story about that.
Okay. Well, we'll save that for Mike.
We're going to save that because we're circling back to this. No, but... Oh my gosh, this is going to be a fun interview already, I'm telling you. But yeah, no, I mean, how's the team working out? Obviously, you've got Sebring and Daytona in the books. I mean, a couple of big ones. You know, how's things? What's the prospects for 2018?
Yeah, I mean, we want to win races, basically. At least that's my goal. And when I go into a race weekend, and I think, you know, Wayne Taylor Racing and I think the crew showed that they won the championship last year and they won championships in the past. So they know what it takes. They know what it takes to win races, and that's how you win championships. But to be honest, my personal, also my feeling always has been racing is winning races is much more fun. And then when you win races, you win a championship. So for me, I'll take it race by race, especially because Daytona was a shitty weekend. Yeah.
In Holland, you're honest, right?
In Holland, it means actually it's a good. No. It's I'm not talking myself out of it. No, actually, it was a bad weekend in Daytona, and then in Sebring we had a reasonable weekend. So I think coming from a low point in the first race weekend of the year, I think it can only go up, and yeah. I think it somehow releases a bit of stress as well in a way. So I think we're here to win races, and I think then we'll see where we end up in the championship, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, like you said, Daytona was a disaster, and we finished second at Sebring, and now Long Beach really starts our bulk of the season with all these sprint races, so you can gain or lose a lot in these ones. I mean, Long Beach, you know, you can be on the wall in a second and finish last and lose, you know, 20 points, and we're only 12 points back right now, so there's a lot of risk versus reward to, you know, make up some points if you need it, but, you know, like Ranger said, this is a big one for us, Long Beach. We have lots of Konica Minolta guests, so this is one we really want to win.
Well, and I know, you know, talking about guests and things like that, obviously working with Cadillac, it's had to have been pretty fun. I mean, you know, you want to talk about some iconic brands, right? Cadillac's got to be a pretty rad team to be driving for.
Yeah, it is. I mean, especially as an American with an American brand, it's really cool. And, you know, they had a Le Monster, their car that they raced at Le Mans back in the 50s. They brought it to Daytona this year for us to drive, and it was terrifying, but it was cool to kind of feel the history of the brand and see how the technology has really developed. So.
Yeah, and for me as well, as a Dutch guy, I'm from Holland, I live in Amsterdam, and coming over here to the US racing and racing for an American brand like Cadillac and racing for an American team with the American teammate, I think it's pretty special. And every time I fly over, it for me, it's like a treat, I would say. So, it's yeah, I like it.
So I got to ask, I mean, you know, obviously you guys are racing together. I know there's been a lot of media put out. Who's got the more expensive backpack?
Well, yeah. You haven't seen mine yet.
Yeah, they didn't write Rangers. Rangers is up there. Lots of leather as well.
Yeah. Lots of leather. You got jewels.
It's bedazzled. Well, yeah, I mean, I just actually started up with Rob over at Centaur Media for my brand new podcast called The Wild Ones, which you could talk about your grinder story on. It's a little bit more, you know, you can be, yeah, a little less PG, more rated R. But yeah, I mean, you got a pretty cool podcast going on. Want to tell us a little bit about that and you know, your social media, because you're quite a character.
Yeah, I have a couple characters, I guess. I mean, I think myself isn't much of a character, but Rodney Sandstorm's a character.
It's called multi-personality disorder.
Yeah, there was a movie about it, wasn't there? Well, he was a little scary. No, I mean, it's fun. I think, you know, in this day and age, it's fun to have a good personality on social media. For someone like me, when I follow someone, it's someone I want to enjoy following. I don't want to just see him posting someone at the gym working out every day and just like anyone else. So I try to make it fun and exciting and different and original. And I think, you know, we see this weekend people don't call me by Jordan anymore. That just people shout out Rodney and where's your dog Fonzie and random stuff like that. So actually, it's sort of taken over.
He has more Rodney Sandstrom. His account has more followers than I do.
See, but people don't understand now, you know, in this new kind of generation of racing where you have a lot of older, more established guys who don't even know how to log onto a computer. But, you know, the competitive advantage as an athlete to be able to utilize social media to really connect with those fans. And it's such a tool now and, you know, a competitive tool to angle it towards brands and your sponsorships that, you know, also being on a track and being a great racer. But you have this whole other, you know, reach to your fans to be able to connect, to be engaging. And the market's so saturated. If you don't put yourself out there and your personality, you know, you can't create that. You know, fan driver experience.
Yeah, I think it's extremely easy just to blend in, like you said, and not be original. And, you know, you have to find a way to stand out in some way. And social media gives you kind of that platform to do do so. And, you know, mine might be a weirder way than other people's, but it works. And I think, like you said, you have to create a brand for yourself and attract sponsors and teams and people's interests. So I think, you know, Konica Minolta has been with us for years, and I used to have a mullet, which is pretty cool. And as soon as I cut it off, they were...
Who thinks it's cool? Like the chicks or...
I don't know. Ask the chicks.
Well, I am one from what I've remembered, but...
No. I guess it attracts a certain type of chick.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at here.
But no, but when I cut it off, like, they were upset because it was such a... Yeah, part of who I was. But now they're behind of anything I do now that's unique, and you know, they're not afraid to, you know, jump outside the box.
We'll talk a little bit about your two relationship too, you know, your teamwork and your friendship here. They're holding hands and one's on the leg. That's, you did meet on Grindr, didn't you? But you know, that's a huge part of being successful. You know, how is your guys' relationship from meeting online to now working together and driving together? Like, how is your relationship kind of formed, and who carries who in what places, you know?
No, I think you know, like I said before, my racing was always in Europe. I grew up in Europe racing there. And coming to the U.S., I started in the IMSA Championship, and I grew up here in the last 5-6 years. And I think I went from a lower category into a higher category, and this year for the first time with Jordan and Wayne Taylor Racing. And it was always the team on the highest, you know, fighting for the overall wins. And fighting for the overall championship trophy. So for me, you know, coming into this team, it's a lot of me blending into their way of working, blending into how they think it should be done. And I think Jordan is a very nice guy. I mean, I can really honestly say that.
Oh, that's so cute, guys. What about you? What do you think? Yeah, you can lay it on them. He's going to throw you under the bus so hard.
No, I mean...
I hate him.
Yeah, he's okay. No, but I mean, when Ricky, my brother, was leaving last year, we were looking for someone new, and obviously you want someone fast, but you want someone with a personality and no ego to come in to your team and blend in well, like you said. And obviously he's fast. He got the pole at the Rolex this year in his first race with us, so he's proven himself. He's got nothing to prove with us as a racing driver, but as a person, he fits in with every member of the team. It's more of a family-style team, so he fits in perfectly. The sponsors love him, so that's, you really look for a full package, like we were saying, the whole brand. And he fits in all aspects.
You hear that? You're the full package deal. You got some good air fluff in there.
So, no, and, you know, going back to that, you coming from Europe to the States, I mean, racing in Europe is very similar to the United States, and it's very different at the same time. I mean, what's some of the biggest changes you've seen, you know, coming to race here in the United States?
You know, I really like the tracks over here, more than in Europe, actually, even. So, basically, they're a little bit older school kind of tracks where the runoff is small. So when you have a in Europe, you get a lot of penalties for track limit violations. So if you go off track and you come on and you gain time by doing that, here you're off track, your car is broken. So that's what I really like about the US tracks. And I think also the racing is a bit different with the kind of safety car. Makes a lot of safety cars during the race, which we don't have in Europe. I think over in Europe it's a bit over regulated, and here, for example, Bo, our race director, they really let us race. So a bit of wheel banging and a bit of old school kind of racing is normal here, and I think that's a standard. So that's what I really like over here. And I think Europe at the same time is very good as well. You know, great races over there. I'm racing on the Nordschleife, which is a 21 kilometer track at the Nürburgring. I think it's special as well. So that it all has a different aspect. But for sure, if I can race another 15 years over here, I would sign up for it today.
Well, you're a race car driver. You'll go anywhere where there's a ride, right?
For sure. You know, I try to race as much as I can. This is my main program. And then whenever I can do any other races and they allow me, then I'll go for it.
All right. So wrapping things up here, Jordan, I mean, you know what it takes to win here at Long Beach. What's it going to take to put it on top of the box again?
I think, you know, Ranger's going to have a good qualifying this afternoon. It's tough to pass here. We only have one pit stop, so kind of wherever he qualifies, you know, that's where we're going to run for a while. And as long as the guys execute our pit stop well, maintain track position, and like we said, it's easy to make a mistake. So kind of staying out of the wall and not taking too much risk in traffic is a big part of it.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. Good luck in qualifying in the race this weekend, and we'll chat soon.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.
All right, so that just about wraps things up on this week's Project Action. Big thanks to our good friends at Continental Tire. Julie over there, much appreciated for everything. You know, gave great hospitality to Amy and I and let us, you know, led us around, kept us in check. And a big shout out to my friend Julie there at Continental Tire. Big thanks to Colin Braun, Jordan Taylor, Ringer Van Der Zonde, Ryan DL. Tons of fun. I can't wait to go out to another IMSA event and just shred the interviews again. We had fun. We had a blast, actually. So thanks to all you drivers, everybody at IMSA, Continental Tire. It was fun, had by all. Make sure and check out my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show with Amy Hood, dropping every Tuesdays online and Wednesdays in networks across the country. Subscribe to that on iTunes. Subscribe to Project Action on iTunes if you haven't already. And you know, make sure and follow me at JimBeaver15, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook groups, or on Instagram as at Down and Dirty Show. That's our show's only Instagram account. But thanks to all of you guys for all the support. Next week we got Hurricane Nita here on Project Action. That one's gonna be it's gonna be rad. Let me tell you already, that is gonna be rad. So thank you guys, and be safe. As always, game on.